Well, we're going to go back this morning to our teaching of being led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We've never really gotten over into the notes that I had in original teachings that I've done on this. God's just been taking it in a different way, but He keeps reminding me of when I had said to Him when He asked me some months ago, He said, "Would you move over and let me speak?" And I said, "Yeah, I will. Whatever you want to do, I'll go along with it." And just figured it was a good idea to do that. Or you can just get up and do it yourself. But He keeps reminding me that there's things that He wants to teach, He wants to say. And one thing is, this week it's been going over and going over in me concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, we've had these scriptures from Romans 8, and I'm going to read Romans 8, verses 14 and 16. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, said this in John 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The Holy Spirit, He's what going to be a teacher. He's going to be a teacher. That's what He does. That's we talk about, and people talk about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit being the comforter and things. Well, really, the Holy Spirit is a comforter, and all those things that He is because He's a teacher. He teaches the Word of God. In the Word of God is where you find your comfort. You're going to find your joy and your peace. You're not going to find them in the world. They're not out there. The world doesn't have them. And you can't find them through your senses. Joy and peace. You can't rely on your senses to have joy and peace, can you? As one moment you can have things really good and nice, and the next minute they're not. But if your joy and peace goes with however the circumstances are, we know this, that either you're not listening to the inner man, or you didn't put the Word in the inner man. It's, you could be at peace and rest even when trouble's going on. But the Holy Spirit's a teacher, and we're going to focus on that from today about Him being the teacher. The Holy Spirit talked to me about that. Is an emphasis on that, Him being the teacher. Jesus also said in John 16 and verse 13 through 15, He said, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare to you." So the Holy Spirit is a know-it-all. He is a know-it-all. So we don't. We're not know-it-alls. Sometimes we think we are, but we're not know-it-alls. But the Holy Spirit is a know-it-all. He knows everything that the Father has, and everything that the Father knows, and everything that the Father is, He has given to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit then, therefore, takes those things and reveals them to us. So you need to understand there's the Holy Spirit as the teacher. If I would say anything you want to know the Holy Spirit as, is the teacher. You need to know Him as a teacher. If you don't, you're never going to be much in the faith area. See, a lot of people are emphasize the gifts of the Spirit being the big thing. Well, they're not. The manifestations of the Holy Ghost aren't the big thing. Any person can produce by their faith in the Word of God anything that can be produced by a gift of the Spirit. You can by faith. The Bible tells us that two agree is but touching anything they ask. Anything, it shall be done to them. The greatest power, the power of God, is a demonstration through faith through a believer. Because see, gifts of the Spirit only operate as the Spirit wills. They're not in constant operation. Faith can be operated in any time, in any place. Any time, at any place. You know, I didn't, when I was in, they had the thing with the hospital. My faith is what brought me through. I didn't have any manifestation of a gift of the Spirit or anything like that. So, see, this is where people get it wrong. They think, when they look, they talk about the power of God, and they begin to look at the Holy Spirit, and it's all about His power. And I said, the big thing to me in the Holy Ghost and His power is His power will bring to pass anything I'll believe. Anything I'll believe in my heart and say with my mouth, He'll bring it to pass. See, most people, they think, oh, the power, they get the gift of the Spirit. I'm sorry, it don't work that way. It never has. And so we need to understand this about this Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit, He's the one that wants to guide you into the truth. He wants to reveal the Word to you. And we're going to deal today because we want to talk about this. There's something that Kenneth Hagin had said many years ago. He had said these things, but here lately I've been listening to some things he said. One of the things he talked about in the teaching of faith. Now the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have faith. He's the teacher. He reveals the Word. See, we know in Romans, 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Well, how does faith come? What is faith? Well, we talk about it. We think about faith as this sort of foreign thing. Faith is just this. It's knowledge of the Word of God. Your faith is based on the knowledge of the Word of God you have. If you don't have knowledge in the Word of God, you don't have faith. You can't have faith in an area you have no knowledge of. The Holy Spirit gives you knowledge of the Word. Kenneth Hagin made this statement. He said, when I go along as a Christian and started out, I realized this, that I didn't have a faith problem, I had a knowledge problem. And as soon as I gained knowledge of the Word, the faith problem left. As soon as I gained knowledge of the Word. See, what you need is knowledge of the Word. See, many people have ideas of all kinds of things they think they need. What you need is knowledge of the Word. Why? Faith will produce anything you need. Faith will produce. All Jesus said. Now I wonder, maybe he lied. He could have lied. Maybe he did. I don't know. When he said all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, because basically the church does not believe that. And most Spirit-filled people don't believe it. They don't believe anything. You try to just get anything possible to do and they will put the brakes on quickly. Well, I don't know if God was talking about going that far. I didn't know if God was. The people will, man, I'll tell you, they'll put both feet on the brake pedal. You know, I remember years ago when you used to have what they called power brakes in the cars and how touchy them things were. You touch them brakes and the car would come to a halt and everybody was kissing the windshield. You know, years ago. But anyhow, hallelujah. Things have changed, but we need to understand this is getting over in the area of believing. You need knowledge of the Word of God. And that's what the Holy Ghost's job is. That's why He's the teacher of the Word. He's there to bring you knowledge. You want to be led by the Spirit? He leads you by giving you knowledge of things. That's how He does it. He even found out He'll give you knowledge of the future, things to come. So in other words, you can stand in faith for what's ahead. That's what he wants. Knowledge. And see, you know, is you need to understand this. Now, understand this about knowledge. Knowledge must be acted on. It has to be acted on. No matter how much knowledge you have, knowledge must be acted on. Knowledge that you have that you don't act on produces nothing. No matter how much you know, it's what you do with what you know. That's what will bless you. But you need knowledge. First of all, you're going to need knowledge. Sometimes people don't have a knowledge of things and they're trying to do stuff. Christians do that all the time. They'll get a revelation from about something in a service that's preached and they run off half-cocked and they got a little piece, but they don't have the whole picture. And they go out and try to make it work and they fall on their face. And I don't, wow, that don't work. It didn't work. You had a partial knowledge. You need to understand where you are in your knowledge. That's what children do. If you do that kind of thing often, you're not growing up. If you're growing up, I've learned over the years, because why? I went through the thing of taking off with stuff, you know, and finding out I really didn't know all I needed to know. And when I found out what I needed to know, so I learned. This is one thing that you don't, as children, you don't have. It's called patience. Patience is developed. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever see a child physically, you know, when they're little? They're just patient. If you've ever seen one, let me know about it. It's probably they have them on a drug that won't let them do anything. But it isn't happening. They don't. Because patience is something that's developed if you learn how to walk in knowledge. It's developed over time. It's in maturity. Maturity is a place where you come through knowledge, where you grow, and you come to the place of practicing knowledge where you get patient. Because you find out, with faith and patience, you inherit the promise. He didn't say with faith you inherit the promise. It's faith and patience. You're going to have to do that. But that takes time. You know, you're not going to take a little child and make them patient because you want them to be patient. They're going to have to be trained in it and taught in patience. They're going to have to find out. Number one, as you're teaching people and children or whoever, you need to know to not do things for them all the time. You'll never teach them patience to jump whenever they want it. It's just like with you. God will never do that with you either. Because he wants to teach you patience too. So he's not going to jump every time you say, God, jump. He's not going to. Why? He's going to teach you patience. He's going to teach you how to use knowledge and grow up where you can stay stable, where you can walk and you're not moved. You're not up and down. You're not carried about by every wind of doctrine. You're not moved by the things going on around you. The things that happen to you don't move you. Thank God. I'll tell you what, when I first started off, there's a lot moved me. It is nice. It's nice to grow up and not, you know what? I would hate to be the average Christian today living in the world that we're living in and what's going on in America. To me, I'm at peace and rest. I'll tell you what, don't bother me, them crazy people, what they're doing. I'll tell you what, I'm hanging out with God. You know, we're doing okay together. But see, I'll tell you what, I hate to be in most people's condition. Most Christians out here, it ain't good. It ain't good for them because they're in an immature state. They're moved by their flesh. They're moved by what they see going on. And every little thing frustrates them and everything gets them upset. And you know what happens? You always see this. People like that, they always lose their joy. I mean, their joy goes first. You know, you see them, long face. They can't be happy. If you can't be happy, this is one of the things you have. Then you're moved by what's around you. You're not moved by what's in you. Hallelujah. Well, inside of you is the Holy Ghost and he's stable. He ain't nervous. He ain't worrying a lick. Hallelujah. And you know what? He wants to help you not worry about anything. He wants you to be at peace and be at rest. He wants you in the same manner. He'll always move you toward that. He'll never move you over to trouble and worry. And I said, that's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will never move you toward fretting about things. If you're moving toward fretting, you're leading to a long spirit. Don't do that. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. Does a comforter make you nervous? No. Hallelujah. So there's things you can tell about whether it's God moving or whether it's not. I'm always amazed how people, they don't know the Word. They don't have knowledge of the Word, so they don't know what's going on. And they don't know what Spirit's talking to them. And a Spirit's making them uncomfortable, making things weird, and they're yielded to it. They think it's God. He's trying to teach me something. Yeah, he wants me to get into worry so my faith don't work. That's what he's trying to do, you know. And so you need to understand what's around you, what's happening and going on, so you can yield to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's not going to try to get you in trouble. He'll help you get out of trouble. Hallelujah. One of the things, we want to have a hunger of God. In Romans 10, I want to read the verses 1 and 2 to you in Romans 10. That's something that Paul said, because we need to know as Christians, we're hungry for God. We want God, but he makes a statement. He says in verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. But he says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. See, you can have a zeal. You can have a hunger for God. I know people who have hunger, great hunger for God. But man, they're lacking in the areas of knowledge and they're not listening to things that the Holy Ghost is trying to teach. See, they get over in things, they have zeal, but there's a lot of problems in that. Years ago, there was an individual that had serious medical problems and that stuff. And I tried to deal with them for a long time because I realized and understood that they were in this area. There was things of knowledge. This person had a hunger for God. They wanted God's will. They wanted. But for some reason, I couldn't get them to listen to certain things. You know, I tried to tell them certain things because they had things concerning healing that they believed and they had part of it. It was good. But they didn't have all the knowledge. And I tried to tell them and I tried to talk to them about it. You know, and what they were doing, they just kept trying to get healed. And I kept trying to show them that they were healed. But they could never grab a hold of that. They could just never get that. I'd go to the scriptures and go with that and that stuff. And, you know, they ended up leaving this earth. But I could never get it across to them. You see, they had a zeal. And that person was hungry for God and loved God. Wasn't a bad person at all. But their lack of knowledge destroyed them. As Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I don't care how hungry you are for God, lack of knowledge can kill you. You just take, you know, we need to know. There's things around us, you know, that naturally in this earth are harmful. And there's things to, you know, you need to, if you don't have knowledge of things, you can get hurt by things that are good for you. You can get hurt by them. You know, there's things that are provided for us and from even medications. You take a medication, it might be good to take, could help you. But if you take it wrong, it could kill you. So you have to understand things. Having knowledge is a huge important thing. And with the Word of God, it's the same way. But God's always going to try to lead you. The Holy Spirit is always going to lead you to the truth. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life. You will know this. The Holy Spirit will always move you toward life. The Holy Spirit never led anybody toward death. Never. Only religious crazy people say that. If they read the scriptures tells us what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does exactly what Jesus does. There's no difference between him and Jesus. Jesus never came along and said to somebody, no, you want healed? No, it's not the Father's will for you to be healed. He's trying to teach you something. He ever say that one time? Never. Never said that one time. So I know this, the Holy Spirit will never say that to me. He'll never say that. Anybody that says any of that stuff and that things, they got a different Jesus. Paul talked about, he wrote to the Galatians, he said, you guys have another Jesus preached. There's different Jesuses that are preached in the church. And people, many Christians are gullible, they believe in every one of them that they hear preached. There's a lot of contaminated junk out here that's going on. Because people don't discern, they don't grow up. Listen, look what the Holy Spirit, I can look at Jesus, and if I can see Jesus, Jesus said I can see the Father. And if everything the Father has was given to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit takes everything that Jesus has and gives it to me, it's going to be the same thing Jesus and the Father got. So that's what the Holy Ghost is going to do. He's never going to do different. Never. Why? Is he going to go against it? He said he is going to operate under his own authority. So he's never going to go against it. Never. So you have this assurity. One of the great things that you need to come to, you need to know how the Holy Ghost works. Because when you learn how he works, he don't change, never. What a security. No matter what happens, I know he's interested in Ed's best interest. He's not interested in his own best interest. Man, can you trust somebody like that? See, you can't trust a lot of people today. A lot of people, the only reason they want you to do certain things, it's for their best interest. You know, Apostle Paul wrote, he said, we had fathers who disciplined us, and he said they did it for their sake, for their good. He said, God does it for your good. See, I want God to discipline me. I know this. If he's disciplining me, it's always for my good. It's always to help me out. So I know I can trust him in discipline. I can yield myself to him. He's not out to try to kill me. He ain't making me sick to teach me something. Dear God, that's the devil. And the devil's in the church up to here. He's got the mouths of lots of preachers. And a lot of even Christians sitting in the pews. Read the Bible, man. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's going to lead you to good. Hallelujah. Lead you to something wonderful. That's what he does. Hallelujah. But God through the Holy Spirit, his whole interest is to bring knowledge to you. So you have faith. And he's always going to bring knowledge that's pure, that's true, that's right. It's always going to be just. It's always going to be righteous. Always. Always. Hallelujah. Here's a scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Wonderful scriptures here. 4th chapter, verse 6 says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And what? Verse 7. Now that's a wonderful thing said, but listen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ in the face of Jesus is in us. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's in us. What is the Holy Ghost? You're born again of the nature of God and you got the Holy Ghost. You have the power of the glory of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ that shines in the face of Jesus is in you. Does that sound like there might be some sickness in there and there's a little bit of poverty over there on the side and, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that? Does that sound like I'd be in there? No one says that thing, that glory he's talking about. It's in us, earthen vessels. Woo! Glory to God. You could take a running spell on that. Glory to God. That's good news. That's what you have in us. That's the Holy Ghost working in you. The Holy Ghost is leading you to glory. That's what he's, I'm going to tell you the glory that's in the face of Jesus is inside of you. Look on the inside. You know what's in there? Glory. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. People are trying to get the glory. I don't think you can get any more than that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, the knowledge of God, what is it? That light of the knowledge of the glory. See, what you need to understand, you need knowledge about what's in you. The glory that's in you. Christians keep trying to get glory and they got it. They already got it. They have no knowledge of it. They think because they don't feel a lot of glory and they don't feel something, they don't have it. What I need to know is the knowledge of what I had. Years ago, the Lord said this to me. He said, my people keep praying and asking me for what they already got. And he sort of gets fed up with it. He said, I don't know what, he's over the years, I bet he's talked about me that at least 20 or 30 times. They just keep praying and asking me for what they already have. You see, this glory is already in you. You're not trying to get it. What you need to do is this. Paul did this. You need, there's something you can pray for, and you know what it is? Knowledge. Listen, what Paul said in Ephesians. I pray this for you guys all the time. And I remember I've told you guys to be praying this for yourself. Maybe you don't. I feel sorry for you if you don't. But he's been, verse 17, Ephesians 1, 17, the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, that's what you need. See, and we can pray. We can ask God to give us knowledge, and he will. Pray up by faith, he'll give you knowledge. Listen what Paul wrote to the Colossians. He said the Colossians in 1, 9, and 10, he said, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. That's a good prayer. That's what you want. Ask God. God's going to, and then walk around talking, God's giving me knowledge. Praise God. I'm asking God for knowledge. He's giving me knowledge. You need knowledge. The knowledge of God is the truth, the Holy Ghost, the one who knows everything, will take the truth and reveal it to you, give you understanding of the truth. Understand this about wisdom. You can't get wisdom on anything you don't have knowledge of. You can't get wisdom of what to do with something you ain't got. You get knowledge, God can give you wisdom to operate that knowledge. You know, there's things I knew in scriptures concerning healing. I knew certain things, and I needed knowledge on how to act on the word of God. I needed the wisdom to be able to do that, take that knowledge and put it to work. And that's the first time I was only just born again a little while. And you guys heard me tell the story. I got waking up sick in the morning. Well, God gave me wisdom that morning on what to do, how to act on the word of God. Well, see, I had knowledge, but I need wisdom. If I wouldn't have had the knowledge, he couldn't even give me the wisdom of what to do. Why? Because knowledge was the basis of my faith. I believe by Jesus' stripes is healed. He said, do you believe that 1 Peter 2:24 is true? I said, well, yes, I do. Well, then he said, then act like it. What if I didn't believe it was true or didn't know it was there? Could he told me to act like it was true? He couldn't have done nothing. But see, he gave me the wisdom to act on that and end up healed. See, this is why you need knowledge first. You need to gain a knowledge. So many people today is one of the things, you know, it'd be like, why do we send kids to school and run them through all these different grades? But people want to come to church and get it all, you know, after a couple little sermons and then run off and got it all, and it ain't going to happen. It takes time to gain knowledge. Did you ever notice that? And number one, if you're only waiting to come to church to get knowledge, I really feel sorry for you. Because that ain't happening. There's a lot of things you need to know, and I ain't got time to preach it all. Number one, you wouldn't come off enough to hear it. There's loads of stuff I could teach. I could teach loads of things. But see, you need to understand. You need to gain knowledge at home. You need to get the, you know, I'm listening to stuff and listening to teaching. Why? Not knowledge. The more I can understand the Word of God, the more can I understand what God's talking about and saying, the more knowledge I can get, then the more I can understand how God operates and I know how to yield to Him, what to do. The more wisdom He can give me on how to take that Word and how to put it and apply it in my life. But you have to gain knowledge. Knowledge is going to have to come first. You know, like we send, you know, kids to school, I'm sure they add and subtract, multiply and divide. It don't mean a whole lot to them. And it's number one, they're teaching and giving knowledge of it, but it comes to a place where it is not much value if you don't ever understand the wisdom of being able to do that. Of what it's for, how you apply it to make it a blessing in your life. How to use mathematics to be a blessing. That's a wisdom. See, you could have all the knowledge. We have loads of people. We have teachers and professors in college that teach knowledge, but don't have no wisdom. Have no wisdom. Loads of Christians have knowledge of things, but no wisdom. They have knowledge of stuff, but they're not getting wisdom. And one of the things is how you do it, you start applying it. You start applying knowledge, and you'll find out in a hurry if you got the wisdom. Many people are walking around with knowledge and doing nothing with it. Think about here in Hosea 4:6. I quoted the first part of Hosea 4:6, which is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But the rest of the verse, but you have rejected knowledge. I also would reject you from being my priest. My priest for me. The rejection of knowledge. See, this is important. You don't reject knowledge. Now, we can reject knowledge, which really, from this way, we could have knowledge and say it's true, but don't ever do nothing with it. It says, God will reject you, he said, from being my priests. We need to understand, we're priests of God. You know, I think many Christians get over on they're rejected because they won't walk in the knowledge of God. They have things that God's given them, but they won't walk in it. They won't do it. They won't apply the things. You need to learn to apply them. If you want to live in the priesthood, you're going to have to apply knowledge. If you want to live as a priest of Christ, if you want that there relationship with Him, and that's what the priesthood is, really the priesthood is. The priest is one who takes the things, even other people. You know, I want to tell you, because listen what he says, goes on, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So you forget the Word of God. In other words, see, I was a priest in the household. I was the one representing my family before God. That's being a priest. You don't walk in knowledge, your kids are going to suffer. Even as they get older, they're going to suffer. See, this is why you want to learn how to walk in the place of priesthood to be a blessing. See, we're priests of God. We can take people before God. But if I'm a reject, and see, this is what you need to know. This is why we need to learn to follow God, walk with God for others. This is how his families have so much trouble. Parents grow up, go in a Christian home and grow up, but they never really follow God, and their children grow, never follow God at all. And it's because you will never have, if one generation turns around and won't follow God and walk, the next generation ain't going to walk as close as that one is. That's a promise. That's a promise. You follow and walk with God. This is why I walk with God. It's why you walk close with God. This is why you do it. Hallelujah. For the blessing, the pass down through your generations. You need to understand that. And we're lacking in a lot of that today. And you guys have heard me talk about, I follow God for others. You do that concerning your family. We're going to look at these things today about some of these areas. But, you know, one of the things that is the knowledge of God. We need to continue. We talked about the two prayers in Ephesians. One of the things, see, we have this morning, lots of times Christians don't understand when the Holy Ghost is leading. You know the Holy Ghost leading you right now this morning? You know the gift of God that's in me is a gift by the Holy Ghost? Jesus called me in this office. You need to understand the ministry gift offices. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. What they're for, it says, they're for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure, stature, the fullness of Christ. Jesus called me to this office. But it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit makes his office work. When I'm teaching, the Holy Ghost is trying to guide you. See, most people don't even reckon. People say, oh, no, church, we don't have gifts of the Spirit operating. Yes, you do. If you got a preacher, it's anointed. You're standing right in front. You're sitting there watching the Holy Ghost move. Don't even know it. People don't even know. This is why people don't respect the gifts of God anymore. They go to church. They have no thing of faith that they're operating in. They have this go and sit down, hold down a pew, sit on a chair, waiting to see if something will happen. And really, nothing happens for them. They don't understand the move of God and how He works. They don't know when the Holy Ghost is moving and when He ain't. They don't know. See, the Holy Ghost is moving here this morning to teach you. That's what He's doing. He's here right now, here teaching you. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And He's amazing because He can speak to you outside of what I can say. He could have me say something or key something in you. It ain't got a thing on earth to do with what I'm talking about. But He can do that. I don't know how He does it. But it amazes me how He does those things. That just blows my little mind. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And see, you need to recognize when the Spirit of God is moving. See, many times the Spirit of God's moving, speaking things, and people get offended by it. I don't want the Holy Ghost. Hey, you know who they get mad at? The preacher. And they don't realize it was the Holy Ghost talking to them. They get offended at God. And they blame the preacher, and the Holy Ghost quits talking to them. You got to watch how you treat gifts of God. They will quit working for you. You can go where you won't get a revelation from a gift, and everybody around you gets revelation, and you can't get nothing. Oh, yeah. See, we need to understand, we don't recognize the move of God. We come to church, man, I come to church, like I go to Randy Greer's meeting, I know God's going to talk to me, I know God's going to do things, because I believe He's going to, you know, don't send me to a meeting and He ain't going to show up, dear Lord. I'm having an encounter with God. You know, when a person says, I read the Bible, but I really don't get much out of it. They are faithless. People who don't, I pick up my Bible, I'm having an encounter with God. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. He lives inside of me. Surely He wants to give me knowledge of the Word. To say anything different is stupidity. It's called ignorance done gone to seed. I like what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, the Holy Ghost don't move, I move the Spirit. That's what you do. When it don't seem like anything's gone, you do something to move the Holy Ghost. He is just awaiting, hallelujah, for you to do something to cause things to move. We're always waiting on God, and most of the time He's waiting on us. Most of the time He's waiting on us to do something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our God's good, isn't He? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we want to walk in the light of the truth. So those gifts, see, like here, a gift's working right now. Now understand this about the blessing of the knowledge of God. Understand, listen what Peter said. This is why you want to develop in the knowledge of God. See, this is why you want to do whatever you can. This is one thing is that, see, I listen to teaching a lot. And I listen to the same teachings over and over and over and over and over again. I listen to them because I've learned this. I don't get everything that's said the first time, the second time. You know, you can ask Wanda. I'm Mr. Repetition. You know, I'm sure sometimes she gets tired of getting in the car and I'm still listening to the same thing we were listening to last month forever, you know, every time she got in the car. And I'm just still listening to the same one. But I'm going to tell you what, when I go to the hospital, I get out. It's what you want. See, I don't care in how much knowledge I can gain. I want to be able to work what I got. Too many Christians are trying to work the faith thing concerning healing, and they never listened to it or got after it enough to really get it. You got to downright get after it. Or something comes knocking on your door, and you ain't got enough to deal with it. You want to do it because someday, twice the devil tried to kill me with a heart attack. And he wasn't able to do that. And he tried to kill me again. He wasn't able to do that. And in both those instances would have been a good time to, I could have easily died. Easily, very easily died. But I learned over time. One of the major ways the devil's going to always try to get after you is concerning your health. You better learn that. Your health better be number one on the thing, on the agenda that you be listening to and getting things in here, because I'll tell you what, it will come knocking. It's going to come knocking. Hallelujah. So one thing is, I know the devil don't like me preaching. He'll want me preaching. My words. If I was a Baptist, I'd be all right. Hallelujah. It's good preaching. Listen, 2 Peter, the first chapter. Peter says these wonderful, gracious words. Listen to this. What? Grace, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you, what? In praying and asking God for it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. As His divine power has given to us, listen, He's given to us something. All things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Grace and peace are multiplied to you. What? Through the knowledge of God. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him. See, you need to gain knowledge. These are things that are already given to us. You got to find out what you already have. Quit trying to get what you already got. Find out what you have. Quit praying and asking God for what you got. That's religion. That's religious stuff. Christians praying and praying about their healing when He's already given it to you. By His stripes you were healed. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. And we're trying to pray around, get healed. You already got it. It's already in you. His divine power. His divine power. I wonder if that's enough, to His divine power. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe God's power just ain't enough. Maybe we need Amazon. Or we need somebody. You know, we need something better. I don't know. Maybe eBay. I don't care. Whatever. His divine power is given to us all things. Oh, I wonder if He really meant that when He said all things. I wonder, you know, Peter could have been sipping a little, you know. Peter might have been, you know, hey. He might have got Paul's letter. Paul said to Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And he got a little carried away. And he did a little more than he should have. And he said these things, but they may not really be true. Yeah. He said, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. So like He covered it, didn't He? Life and godliness. It says, how did He do it? Life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. See, you're already called to glory and virtue. You're only going to get there through knowledge. That's how you're going to get there. When you realize that inside of you, you already have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Wow, we say, God lives inside. Jesus is in me and I need more. I need to pray for power. I need to pray for this. I need to pray for that. I need to get some more of this. I need to get that. And we say Jesus lives in us. We don't believe that. You already have everything that pertains to life and godliness in you. What I need to know is I need knowledge. That's why Paul was praying for the churches to get knowledge of what they got. Get knowledge of what you already have. You're already kings and priests. You don't have to wait someday God's going to make you a king. That's never going to happen. That happened at birth. When you were born again, you became a king. You became a priest of God. You became that. Hallelujah. Now what you need is the knowledge about that, to operate in it, to walk in it. That's what you need, is knowledge. And that's what the Word of God's about. The Holy Ghost was put in you for that specific purpose, to bring knowledge to you. That's why He's there. Knowledge. Now we can see, if we go over, well, let me read this. Proverbs 24, I'm just going to read three verses there, 3-5. Listen what this says. And this is good news, and you'll understand about the importance of knowledge. Listen. Verse 3 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established. But now listen to this. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all the precious present riches. Now listen to this. A wise man is strong, yes. A man of knowledge increases strength. Oh, God build a, hey, did God build a good house? Do we have a house that's established? We're the house of God, the Bible says. I was, what has it? Knowledge, you're going to fill the rooms of the house with precious and pleasant riches. It's going to fill this thing. Hallelujah. Thank God, He says, a wise man's strong, but He said, a man of knowledge increases strength. We're getting stronger. We're getting stronger. Hallelujah. Renewed day by day. Well, see, you need the knowledge. See, walking around, I'm just so weak. The Bible says you're renewed day by day. What are you walking around saying you're weak for? Why are you talking evil of God? I'm going to show you that is evil. That is speaking evil. Christians walk around speaking evil all the time, wondering why things don't work. Speaking, hallelujah. Let the weak say I'm strong. No, let the weak say I'm weak. Let the weak say I'm weak. Yes, 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 yes. I'm just so humble. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is good preaching. I don't know about you doing me good. Glory to God. I'm not as wild as last week, though, but I am having fun. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to read, I'm going to read something here from Isaiah. See, because you can see the Spirit of God, and this is what I want to see. It's the same Spirit that was on Jesus when He walked a man in the earth. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, the devil, because God was with him. Here's the prophecies from Isaiah about Jesus in Isaiah the 11th chapter. Isaiah the 11th chapter, we could go down through and read that. Everybody, you've all heard this already. And especially this time of year, people read these about the Messiah coming and things. But listen to what it says. This is the Holy Ghost, so you can get an idea of what the Holy Ghost is like. He has not changed from His operation in Jesus. If He operated in Jesus in ways, He'll operate in us the same way. Why? He's the same Holy Ghost. He is not different. Listen, there shall come from a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out from his roots. That would be Jesus, the Messiah. He came out from Jesse, from David. He said, now listen, what's going to be? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Do you think we have a different Spirit of the Lord? Do you think we got a different one? Maybe we got Plan D, and there was better ones, you know. Number A, Holy Ghost stayed in heaven. He didn't come down. He stayed up. Now, A team was there. We got the guys on the bench. They brought them out. We got a hand of that. Anyhow, listen. The Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. What? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So that's what the Holy Ghost. Listen. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in what? The fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. You know what's telling him? Well, he's going to walk by faith. He's not going to be moved by what's going on around him. He's not going to be doing that. He's going to be over here walking. This Messiah, see, oh, you look at Jesus, we can follow after this. Man, this is a copy of us. See, if we follow this thing, this same anointing is on us. This anointing lives in us. This same one. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about, I'm going to share with you some things about the fear of the Lord. But he says, in Isaiah 33, 5 and 6 said, listen to this. This is good for us. Dealing in the areas of knowledge. In Isaiah 33, 5 and 6, verse 5 said, the Lord is exalted for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Hallelujah. Now listen what he says. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your terms. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's a truth. And the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. We want to talk about the fear of the Lord. We want to share some things of scriptures about the fear of the Lord. These are things people don't like to talk about, but these are the big blessing things. People don't get it. People in their little minds read the Bible in their little pea brains, thinking everything out of the natural and have no revelation of the Holy Ghost. You need to understand about the fear of the Lord. If you want to walk in a higher degree of faith and a greater place of blessing, you need to understand this. Because this is the place to go. To walk in the fear of the Lord. Look what it said about Jesus. What did he? His delight, we back in Isaiah 11 verse 3 said, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and all this, but what? His delight, his great delight was in the fear of the Lord. His great delight. Glory to God. That's how you walk, but if you really want to walk by faith, you gotta get a different delight. Hallelujah. See, we think about the fear of the Lord. People act like, you know, it's a thing about being scared and that kind of stuff. No, it's not. There's a thing about reverence with God. There's things about holding certain things as more important than others. And if you want to walk in the blessing, you're going to have to do that because the great blessing is in it. Because when we read what the blessing of this is, hallelujah. So wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time and the strength of salvation. In other words, what? Wisdom and knowledge gives salvation its strength. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. You want to have the fear of the Lord as your treasure, folks. You want the fear of the Lord as your treasure. Hallelujah. We want to talk about this, the fear of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit will lead you into the fear of the Lord. That's one of the major things he's going to lead you. We talked about righteousness. But the fear of the Lord is one of the things he's going to show you. And this is one of the things, see, the church don't like that Holy Ghost. They want the playground Holy Ghost. They want the Holy Ghost that you just live any way you want and you still get blessed. The Holy Ghost ain't in that. The Holy Ghost ain't in the seeker friendly. He's in the God friendly. He's in the God friendly. And see, but if we hook up, The blessing. Now listen, we're going to go to Proverbs. Proverbs is considered the book of wisdom. Understand about Proverbs, this is not about the law. Because you go over the laws and Pentateuch, if you go over and read the first five books of the Bible, you'll find these things aren't stated specifically in there. They talk about the fear of the Lord. But these things have to do with the wisdom of God. This stuff is good. I don't care what generation or what time that you live in. Whether you lived under the law or you're under grace or whatever you're at, this stuff works because these are principles of God that are established in his kingdom. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Listen what it says here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning. So you can understand why knowledge is hurt so bad in the church world? Because the fear of the Lord isn't the beginning. You know, they want to talk about that after everybody maybe matures. And well, nobody ever matures. It's in the beginning. He said, what? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, you got to learn to, I tell you, I love instruction in the Word of God. I love to be taught by the Word. I love for the Holy Ghost to teach me. I love it. I love to understand and comprehend. Man, and I love to get things and I love to teach them. I love to tell the things that I get. I want to tell people. I want to pass something on. Man, this stuff's good. Well, you see, I can tell people get anything good from God. You get something good, you can't help but want to pass it off to somebody. You just want to get it over on somebody. Man, I want somebody to have this. I want somebody to get this. Woo, this is good. You know? Hallelujah. Now listen, Now, this sounds may sound like a contradiction, but it's not. Listen, Proverbs 9 and verse 10. It says this. Now listen what this starts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. But he's not talking, look, wisdom and knowledge are both. This is the beginning. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will always bring a person to knowledge and wisdom. It always will. Now listen. This is what, in Proverbs the 8th chapter, this is what Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is. Listen to what Solomon says. The 13th verse of the 8th chapter, Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. That's the fear of the Lord. In other words, having the fear of the Lord produces things in you. This, number one, it'll deal with the areas of pride and arrogance. True fear of the Lord will bring you knowledge, and you won't, those things won't happen. Now, he said, in the evil way and the perverse mouth. Perverse means this, it is contrary to what's right or good. See, there's people who gain knowledge of the Word of God of what's right and then walk around and talk opposite of it. Remember I said before, people walk around and saying the wrong opposite of what they have been taught and go around and tell, you know, well, I'll tell you, yes, I believe Jesus took my infirmities, but you just don't know what my problem is. I'm just having this and I got that. And they'll just go on and they have a perverse mouth. Let me tell you, God hates that. You need to learn to hate a perverse mouth. And if you got one, you need to hate that mouth of yours till you get it corrected. You need to hate it. Let me just say this. You'll never change it till you hate it. As long as you'll put up with it, you'll keep talking the junk. Woo! My God, I'll tell you. Man, I've had to deal with mine already. Have you ever had to deal with yours? Well, if you haven't, you're a backslidden buzzard because you're not paying any attention to God at all. My conscience will bother me. Now, also, that word perverse has a legal side to it. It is a person who knows what the law says to do, but they keep going against it. They keep going against it. We have a lot of Christians are like that concerning the Word. They know what the Bible says. I mean, now we have taught, if you don't have to repent. If you sin, you don't have to repent. No, you're always already forgiven. It's just contrary to law. That's contrary to spiritual law. That's being perverse. Spiritual law says no. You turn from it. You don't just, oh, no, well, yeah, we're already forgiven. It doesn't follow spiritual law. See, there's a lot of perverseness today going on. A lot of perverseness. And we have to deal with that. Why? Because of dealing with the fear of the Lord. Listen what Proverbs in the 16th chapter and verse 6 says. This is about the fear of the Lord. This is why you want to understand and comprehend the fear of the Lord. You want to do that. And the Holy Ghost will teach you, instruct you in the Scriptures. How will He get you over to have the fear of the Lord? By giving you Scriptures to teach you how to walk in line with the Word of God. It's not, having the fear of the Lord ain't something different. The fear of the Lord is walking in the knowledge that God gives. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Hate evil, love what's good. That's the fear of the Lord. Respect for the things of God and not giving respect to the things of the world and everything else. It's not some difficult, weird thing. But listen, Proverbs 16 verse 6 says this, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And listen to this, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. This is what we know. That today we're living in a society, a Christian society that has no fear of God, and that's why they do such evil. The Christians do evil. There's no fear of the Lord. You want to have fear of the Lord. You want to have a respect for the things of God. You want to have a respect for what is true. Why? It keeps you from evil. Why? Because we know this. You get into evil, there's a penalty to be paid. I mean, we have the New Testament. You're going to reap what you sow. You sow something evil, you're going to get evil back. So we don't want to go there, do we? I don't know about you. I don't want to go there. And this is what the fear of the Lord keeps you from reaping what you didn't want. The fear of the Lord keeps you over in the area of blessing. Now listen to this. Because I'm going to read you some. I didn't do them all. I just did some of them here because they're just good to have to listen to. Hallelujah. You can go look them up. Other ones up in the scripture. But listen. Proverbs the 10th chapter. Proverbs the 10th chapter. Proverbs the 10th chapter in verse 27. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. It extends your life. Don't you want some of that? See, God, I got my life extended. The devil wanted to end it in October. I got an extension. Hallelujah! The fear of the Lord. It says, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. See, God don't believe the good die young. God don't believe that. He don't believe none of that. There are Christians who aren't really bad people, but they die with lack of knowledge. The devil kills them. And they'll say they were good. But really what they were doing wasn't good to let the devil kill them. It wasn't good. But we don't want to say that. You know, oh, we don't, oh, don't say that. No, we got to keep our nice little religious junk running. You know, we got to keep our little religious things going there. Because we don't want anybody to think that we're bad or weird or anything like that. See, this is why I do and preach like I am, because they all think I'm weird anyhow. So they don't care. So it don't matter. I can say what I want. That's one thing, as far as you get older, you get to speak a lot clearer about things than you did when you were younger. So I take advantage of it. Why? Well, I ain't got a thing to lose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. But look, the fear of the Lord prolongs days. See, you want to have the fear of the Lord, don't you? And really, it's a respect and an honor for Him and His things. See, that's lost today. There's not a respect. Even from a church standpoint, people don't respect and honor a lot. People all the time, they even go to churches, but there's no respect or honor of God. It's just the traditional things that we do and just stuff. We go through our little routines. We have our little prayers that we say, and they're just sometimes little mechanical things and stuff that we do. There's not a respect or honor. And you see, we need to come or this, hold it. God done lived in, He's in me. God. And see, start living in that. I mean, there's a huge difference today. You know, really, when I was, years ago, when I was a kid, back in the 50s and into the early 60s, you know, most of the people, even if a minister got around, even the heathens had a respect. They wouldn't say or do things. I'm going to tell you what, our Christians act like heathens. They have no respect at all for the thing, and say they're Christians. Have no respect for the things of God. See, there was things that, there was a reverence, there were certain lines you didn't cross about things that you didn't do. Today, the church crosses all the lines. There's no reverence. That's why in the church world as a whole, sickness and disease is rampant. And it will stay rampant as long as they don't have the fear of the Lord. And they don't. They don't have the fear of the Lord. So things run rampant. It's a huge, let me just say this. When people have the fear of the Lord, they got say with God like nobody else has say. You want to get things done? You want to walk in this place. Because the people who walk in this place, they can even get things done for the idiots who have no respect. God will honor you because of you. With Wanda's grandpa, God extended his life because of my walk with God. He was dying. He was going to die. We were in his room, and I'll tell you, death was, the Mount Tabor, the spirit of death was in that room. The devil had all his cousins, and everybody were in that room. He was dying, going no place. But the Lord spoke to me, because I went to the Lord about it, said, Lord, on behalf of my wife. I talked about it. And the Lord said, you go back and lay hands on him. He said, I'll raise him up, make his days, last days better than his first. He said, I can't do this for him. But he said, I'm going to do this because you asked me to. See, he had no right to it. But God let me go do it because of me. Where you'll walk. See, this is what most Christians don't know anything about this stuff. This is one of the most important things about walking a godly life. When the Lord spoke to me, and that's some years ago, back in 1983, and said, because you followed me and walked where I told you to do and did what I told you to do, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters into the kingdom. Can you imagine? People pray night and day trying to get family members in. I don't pray about it at all. Why? God made a promise. He didn't say how they were going to act and what they were going to do. He said, you've done what I've told you to do. You've walked right, and I'm going to do that for you. That's what I'm going to do for you because you did. See, there's a place that you walk because of the fear of the Lord, and you honor God. When the Lord spoke to me and gave me the 128th Psalm, the man who fears the Lord and walks in his way, the man who fears the Lord and walks in his way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house, and his children as olive plants around his table. Good scripture. You see, there's a blessing. Fear the Lord. Respect the things of God. Put them on the front burner. Not back there, you know, cooking back there someday. And when you just, well, when I get around, we'll get around and do some of that God stuff. And meanwhile, we're doing all this other stuff. Getting over doing the God stuff. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:26. Says this. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. You want to be bold in the presence of God? Do you want to be bold in the presence of God? In the fear of the Lord. See, we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace. Do you have knowledge of your ability to walk in God's walk confidently into the throne of grace? Do you really have? See, you want to have the fear of the Lord. See, the Holy Ghost will lead you and give you a boldness before God. Now listen, what? His children will have a place of refuge. See, these things have extensions on to them. It passes blessing on. This is why you want to walk in these things. It's the blessings that are in them. Say, do you just do this for the blessing? Show enough. He should have never put them on the page if we couldn't. What? He should have never put them. I'd do them for the blessings. I'm going to walk in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because there's blessings to it. What do you want to walk into it and don't do nothing? Who cares? If the fear of the Lord is only for the life to come, what good is it? It's what it does here in this place where you and I are living here in the dung heap. Hallelujah. We ain't in the middle of the dung heap. Praise. We're in the place. We're blessed when everybody else is in the dung heap. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19:23. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. He who has it has what? This life that you get because of the fear of it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Do you want to walk in the fear of the Lord? Most churches and most spirit-filled churches will never teach this stuff. Because all these don't want to get over there, make anybody feel condemned. We'll just let them all live a miserable life and then we'll pray for them, act like we're going to get something done. No. We ain't doing that. We want to live in the fear. We want to live in an honor and respect of God. Jesus is Lord. Did you ever notice that? You come into the kingdom by confessing Him as Lord. In other words, He's in charge. See, there's an honor and respect. Jesus may be my brother, but He's my Lord. And I need to keep an honor and respect to that. He ain't my homeboy. He ain't part of the hood. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's an honor. The only reason I get to sit on the throne is because of Him. I must always pay honor and due to that. I must always show high respect of who He is and what He is. No more than I show respect of Him will His name work for me. The fear of the Lord, I tell you what, is tied to His power and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. You uphold Him, you will uphold that name, which is above every name. And when you speak that name, whether it's for healing, whether it's to cast the devil out, hallelujah, you'll speak it in the honor and the glory that does, and understand the devil don't run because of you, they run because of Him. It's His glory that's in me. Glory to God. It's His majesty that's inside of me. It's His power that's working in me. Hallelujah. And I have the honor to take the name and unleash it. Woohoo! Glory to God. Unleash that power of God. He'll not be visited with evil. Proverbs 24:4. We'll read this last one here. I don't know. It doesn't preach me happy. Glory to God. Proverbs 22 verses 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. By the fear of the Lord, humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Oh, don't you want to live in the fear of the Lord? I want to live. I want to show high respect for my King and my Lord. See, I want to walk in that place. I don't want to demean Him in any way. I don't want to do that. I don't want Him to give me knowledge and then I treat it like it's something for it doesn't really matter. It's frivolous. See, when you and I walk in the knowledge that He gives us, we're honoring. That's honoring the fear of the Lord. When we treat His Word in the place that it should be treated. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. How could you minimize the Word and say, I honor Jesus? That's an impossibility. When we honor His Word and He gives us knowledge, He put the all-knowing one inside of us. That knows everything that the Father knows, that Jesus knows, and He placed Him inside of us to give you knowledge. He loves to give you knowledge. And He wants to teach you in the fear of the Lord. That's the leading of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wants to lead you in the fear of the Lord. He wants to, why? Because He wants to take you to blessing. He wants you, if you want to walk in the perfect will of God, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, In a vision, he told him, he said to him in 1987, he said, you never have to pray for my blessing if you're walking in my perfect will, because my perfect will has my full blessing on it. Every person, see, that prays for God to bless them, is not walking in the knowledge of God. God wants you, number one. God wants you and I to live in His perfect will. Why? Because that's the place of the full blessing. The Holy Ghost is going to lead you to walk in the full blessing of God. He's going to lead you to the perfect will of God. That's what He's always going to do. That's the Holy Ghost. He's going to lead you to the perfect will of God. Why? That's the place where God can bless you fully. He's going to take you to the fear of the Lord because that's the will of God. That's the perfect will of God, that you walk in the fear of the Lord. That's God's perfect will for you. You want to go there. Why? It's full of His blessing. It's full of His blessing. Hallelujah. It's full of His blessing. It's full of life and health and soundness and riches. All those things are in that. You don't have to try to get them. They're in it. See, I'm fully convinced there's a higher level to walk in what we've ever been taught about finances and anything. I believe we've been taught on low levels of this stuff. I believe there's a place to walk where, my words, that stuff will run you down, knock you over and jump on you. Where all we do is we're seeking the perfect will of God. We're after what God wants. We're walking in line with the fear of the Lord. We're over here. And see, under the law, they had to do everything right to get the blessing to overtake them. That's not in our covenant. We aren't trying to do everything right. We're hooking up with the one who's done everything right. We're hooking up with the one that's already inside us, that already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why would any Christian pray to be blessed? How could you have every spiritual blessing and then asking to get blessed? No, what you needed was knowledge of what you got. Knowledge of the blessing of God. See, we've been limited by our knowledge. We've been living it about what we know. We've been taught always going after God and saying, instead of going, see, you have plenty of time to fellowship with God without asking for stuff all the time when you know you got it all anyhow. You won't be asking for a lot. Why? Because you already got it. That's why we can so easily make a confession and bring things to pass, because it's already our possession. It's already been won for us in Christ Jesus. When we're out here working at this thing through faith, when we're out here in our so-called work thing of faith, but really it's a lot of works, trying to bring it to pass what is already ours. How people, you know, I started off, you know, I labored at the healing thing. I don't ever labor at that anymore, because I am healed. I don't ever labor at that anymore. I have not tried to get healed for years. I don't try to find it, get it, look for it, anything. I already have it. It's already got it. It's already mine. What our job is I just got to receive it. That's it. And I found out, old dummy me can do that quick. I mean, I know how to do that. That's my part. Just act like I got it. See, I got knowledge of what I have, not trying to get. I already got it. It already belongs to me. See, at the level that you can believe that, you need to understand. What level can you believe that at, that you got it? See, this is where knowledge is wonderful, because if you keep gaining knowledge and acting on it, your level of belief rises and rises, and you can take things at higher levels. And that's where you want to come to. You want to come to where you can reach something at a higher level. You want to get it better than you did the last time. You want to get something better than what you had before. A lot of this has to do with why it takes so long for some people to get things from God. Sometimes it's because of their level of faith. Can only slowly move something to them. It just takes them a long time. And they don't ever develop in their faith to take a hold of things and take it. They don't ever really take it. They stay at a low level. They're always reaching. They did it some way. They got it some way or other before. And they just stay there all their life. And they just go. They never take it at a higher level. Say, no, I'm going to believe for this one this time. I ain't going to go for that little bit. We're going to go for the big thing, you know. I ain't taking the piece of cake. I'm going to get my whole cake. They say, you can't have your cake and eat it too. This boy does. I get my cakes and eat them if I want to. You believe that other junk, you're always going to stay on the bottom. Well, God won't give you everything. I thought all things were possible to him that believeth. Poor old dumb Jesus lied, you know. And I love him, though. I love him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a liar, but he's a wonderful Savior. See, we're going to go to heaven with an eternal liar. See, there's places to be reached to, and it's through the knowledge of God. That's why you want to go for the knowledge of God. Holy Ghost, please teach me. Holy Ghost, instruct me. I need to understand. I want to comprehend more. I want to walk closer into your perfect will. So to do that, I'm going to have to gain knowledge. I got to gain knowledge to walk closer into his perfect will. I can only walk in the will of God based on the knowledge I have. I believe there's a lot more than I have. I don't know about you. I believe there's a lot more. I believe I need a little bit more knowledge. I believe there's places for me to walk that I haven't walked, that I will be able to walk in, that I can go to. Hallelujah. So there's one thing I want to do. I want to stay in the area of the fear of the Lord. I want to show reverence and respect to God. I want to keep him in the place that he belongs, in front of all the rest, to the forefront of things. You know, I just want to keep it. You know, like Dr. Cho said, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, if I'm even sitting before leaders of the world, I always keep my heart toward God to hear if he has anything he wants to say. See, he had the fear of the Lord. He had the fear of the Lord. He reverenced God above all the leaders of the world. I want you to understand this, and I'm not saying this is kind of bragging to me. I stand in a higher office than the President of the United States. How do you see yourself? Most of you don't see yourself even close to what you are. You don't even see yourself. You only see yourself in the light of what you're doing naturally. That's what you see yourself. You don't know who you are. You just see yourself for who you are. The position that you stand in. I've been anointed as a voice of God in this earth. How do you see yourself? You see, if you understand, you got so much more than you've been walking in. It's what you are. You're kings and priests. Do you really? Are they just nice words that make us grin? Say, then I'm a king and a priest, and I go home and live like, you know, the neighbor's better than I am. And he's a sinner. You're a king and a priest. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, this is one thing. This is why the great disrespect concerning ministers right now in America here and how they treat God. They have no respect from Him in their blue jeans and stuff and getting on stage representing God. Our president has more respect for this nation than our ministers have for God. The blue jean church. You see the president run around in blue jeans? He respects his office. America's in a mess because our ministers are a big mess. They have no respect for God, the position that they hold. They don't know who they are. They don't know the glory that God has given them. Instead of showing respect before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's who I represent. If a president of a nation will stand and not do the things that ministers are doing, what do we expect out of the people? The casual church. There's no fear of the Lord in a casual church. Casual Christians don't have the fear of the Lord. There's a fear of God to have, a respect to show to God. We've lost it. We've lost it in casual Christianity. It's not casual. This is life and death we're dealing with, folks. This is life and death. This ain't some casual thing. We wonder why, you know, things don't change. We got to change. We got to be a different people. We're a people full of glory. Not the torn up jean church. You think in heaven people are going to be living, dressing as sloppy as they do here? It ain't nothing but the devil's in our society. And whatever the devil goes in society, everybody does it. I mean, my words, we were kids. We had the torn up jeans. We were poor. I came from a poor family. We had the torn up jeans with the patches on it, and they didn't cost hardly a thing. And today, morons go out and pay high prices for torn up jeans. And you know what it is? It's nothing but a demonic spirit having people looking bad, and that's what's good. Today, it's cool to look bad. Folks, this is good preaching. It's demonic. It's demons. Darkness. People, you know, dressing dark and, you know, get groups in their makeups and stuff. Very dark. Everybody's looking dark. The evil, you know, you go on, look at movies and stuff, all the sick movies that they're making now. All the stuff, the horror stuff is big deal. It's the biggie. Why? It's the devil. And he's running the society. He's running the companies that make the stuff people wear. He's doing all this stuff. It's the devil. And the church is into it because this is what all my friends are doing it. All my friends are doing it. Well, I can say for this truthfully, all my preacher friends don't dress like me. And I don't dress for them. I've been already preaching to places and they said, we just dress casual. And I just looked at them and say, I don't. I don't care if it makes them nervous or not. But I want them to know that somebody standing in front of them that got authority. I ain't one of the boys. I ain't one of the boys. And I'm not supposed to be. I mean, we need leaders in America, and the church has few. They have few leaders. People who'll take the front and stand up and say, hey, hold it. I want to take you someplace. I don't want some guy that looks like he, you know, was out drinking the night before and that stuff and, you know, has got the latest hairstyle sticking up all over here and there and the other place and he's doing his thing and he's all being Mr. Cool and all that kind of stuff. Got his good little tight jeans on and stuff standing in front and that's going to, I'm going to say, I ain't following him nowhere. I got good enough sense. I done met the Holy Ghost. I ain't going to follow him. I met the Holy Ghost. Him or the Holy Ghost? Dear God, we ain't got a choice here, folks. This is good preaching. What are you following? You understand this? Whatever spirit a man got's on and you stand and listen to him talking to you and you let him go ahead and preach to you, that spirit's going to be coming out in what he says. And don't be surprised it gets on you. I'm just telling you. We have such a shallowness in Christianity, we don't realize today. We have no consciousness of how the spirit realm operates and how it works. Today it's, you know, how we can look more like the Hollywood. We can be more like Hollywood. Yeah, the people like that. Then I am going in the opposite direction. If people like it, we're going the opposite way. I ain't having that. Not going there to that place. Hallelujah. See, there's things we need to understand in our respect and things for God. You need to take your time. What does God want? What does He want of me? What does He want me to do? There's a respect and honor that we have to have. There's one thing that I've learned. I've looked back to the past, and the Lord's been dealing with me a lot, of looking back at the past, of the move of God, and the respect people had for ministries and men to Christians. And He started to show me how much we have changed, not how much the world has changed. We have changed, and how the world has followed us. We brought the change. We demeaned God. We had no fear. The church left the fear of the Lord. Why would we expect the world would think anything of Christianity? See, we take it back and we uphold it of who we are. Let the Holy Ghost teach you who you really are. Hallelujah. My God, what might happen? You just may blow up. My God. Hallelujah. You find out what you are. Hallelujah. The glory that's in you. What's inside of you? What's really going on? What you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. You won't want to demean any of it. You won't even think twice about it. Hallelujah. So one thing is about... Wes High had sent me a thing of Smith Wigglesworth. It was... Yeah, Lester Summer. Lester Summerall was sharing about his Smith Wigglesworth, because for 2 years he would go to, every 2 weeks would go to his house. He said, Smith Wigglesworth, he said, when you saw Smith Wigglesworth, you went into his house, he said, he was like a general. He said he was dressed sharp all the time. And he said he stood and he stood straight and he talked. He said he had an authority about him. See, people wonder, we sit around and use these men as examples of things. But the people that use them for examples ain't an example of it at all. And think because they talk and say that this stuff shows like something's going to happen. This is why nothing ever happens. You got to become what they are, what they were. You got to stand in the place of office where they stood. You got to stand in the glory that they stand in to have those things happen. They don't happen because you're a Christian. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When Smith Wigglesworth wasn't even going somewhere, he was dressed like he was going somewhere. But he was a man. He stood in an office and he stood in a place. But he understood his office and his place and his walk with God. He definitely had the fear of the Lord. See, we live in this communication society. And you know, and I'm going to say, this is not picking me. But you know what? We can't listen to all this stuff and going all the time online and looking at all kinds of things all the time, that all this junk that's going on, and always being following this and that, listen to this person, that person, listen to this junk. You can't do that and walk with God. It's going to affect you. We have nothing but garbage coming. You got to be very, I'll tell you, there ain't a lot of places I visit online. A lot of places, I tell you what, I don't need a big internet. I don't need one. I watch who I listen to. That's why I'm careful about myself. That's why I was never on Facebook, because there's a lot of people, I don't want their input. I don't want to be hearing about their stuff. I don't need to be hearing their stuff about it. I need to be hearing from God. If I'm going to minister to people, I need to be hearing what God's saying. I don't need people telling me their problems. I want to listen to God. I can solve problems. You listen to people and their problems, and you know what? You're just going to be part of the problem. Because you'll never be able to minister to them, because you'll be full of the knowledge of their problem. Woo! This communication stuff we got is hugely destructive. Hugely destructive. Have we got more spiritual having it all? Has people got more spiritual? Well, if it didn't, then somebody ought to wake up one day and say, it ain't working, let's get away from this. No, let's have some more of it. Let's get more of it. It hasn't bought blessing. It's been a curse because people don't have enough sense to know how to use it. They ain't got no sense. They'll watch her do anything. You know, I ain't got time to go over and watch so-called funny stuff all the time. I ain't got time. I just don't have time for it. Man, get me over the, me and the Holy Ghost. Let me alone. Give me the Word of God. I'll have fun. I'll have fun. See, you'll find your joy and pleasure in whatever you put your time into and stuff. You're going to have to, because it's going to affect you. Anybody tells you it don't, they're the biggest liar. They're the devil's cousin. Probably maybe even his brother. Tells you it don't. You can't fill yourself. You got to watch what you fill yourself with. You got to watch yourself. Now, I'm just telling you these things. You're not going to have the fear of the Lord and turn around and listen to all this, because this stuff, it gets to you. You listen to it. You listen to things that are frivolous. Oh, knowing mine is full of frivolous. I'll tell you what, it's filled with frivolous. Filled with things that don't matter and that kind of stuff. And everybody's brother wants to get on here and do this stuff, and everybody wants to be heard. I need to listen. I need to hear from heaven. We're living a day when there's many voices. There's more voices today than there were 20 years ago, isn't there? And all of them have a significance. And when you say they don't, you're a liar. The Bible says they do. There's a significance to every voice you listen to. So you need to be careful what voice you're listening to. You need to be. They said none are without significance. Don't let your ears be a dumping ground for the trash of the world. Because I'll tell you, your inner man will become part of the trash pile. You don't want to do that. You don't want to become part of the trash pile, do you? On the inside. Protect yourself. Jesus told us, be careful what we hear. Gee, and they didn't have the internet then. Dear God, what would he say today? He might tell us all to throw our phones away. I don't know. It's me. I've learned not to do it. I don't. Lots of times, other things people call new stuff they want to talk. I'm not a pick up the phone right away guy. I've decided I'm old school. I ain't nervous. I don't have to answer right away. If I have to answer right away, if people expect that, I want you to know. I don't always answer right away. They have those things on there, leave a message. I don't have to answer right away. If you don't, I've had people tell me, I don't like to leave messages. And I just tell them, don't call. It's so simple. Just easy, don't call. I don't like to leave a message. What's the point of the stupid things? I don't like to leave a message. I want you to answer me. When I say jump, I have to have you there. And you got to do it or I don't feel right. Well, you're going to have a bad day. And I'm going to see to it, every day is going to be a bad day because I'll never answer. Don't let me find out you're like that. I'll never answer your call. Oh, yeah. I'll never answer your call. Till you repent of that evil and wickedness. That arrogance. Remember we read over in Proverbs about that arrogance? God hates. Everybody's not at my bid and call. If you don't answer right away, well, good, I'll leave a message. That's simple. Takes you a week to get back, that's up to you. If you didn't think it was important, that's all right. I'm not going to lose a week of sleep. It ain't going to bother me, and I'm not going to think evil of you. Hallelujah. I'm not nervous if I go somewhere and I don't have a phone. What if an emergency arises and I can't call? I sure can. I got heaven. I call what counts first, and it ain't some ambulance. I have the fear of the Lord. He's number one. I'll actually talk to him before I will anything else. I'll actually do it. I've done it many times. When emergencies arise, one thing you want to learn to do, when an emergency arises, get quiet around me or I might tell you to shut up. Why? Because there's only one I want to hear from. And I have never been in a serious situation where God has not told me something of what to do that changed it. Never one time. I went in the hospital. God spoke to me. God always talks to me. I've never had a time. You know why he talks to me? Because that's all I ever say. I never say anything else. I believe with all my heart, no matter what, he'll always talk to me. If a situation arises, he'll always speak to Ed. He likes to talk to Ed because Ed believes he'll talk to him. I never say anything different than that. And I've never had anything happen different than that. I have said it and it comes to pass. Because I believe it and don't doubt. So I'm going to hear from God. So if I don't want to hear the voice of people, wouldn't that be smart? Don't you want to let me hear the voice of God? Hallelujah! See, Wanda learned that over time. She learned that over time. I'll hear from God. God will speak. I'll know what to do. He'll tell me. I know what I need to do. See, what's where place? This is the place where. This is the fear of the Lord. You put Him first. You show respect. Most people, they go through all the things they do and all the other stuff that they want to do to try to fix a problem and everything. And when the things don't work, let's pray. God comes in at number 15. Right after the ambulance driver and 47 other people and the doctor at the emergency room and all that stuff. And then, let's get God in on this. What do you think? What do you think? Let's call the prayer chain. Me and God, that's the prayer chain. That's it. Me and God. I don't have to go through you. Thank God if you want to pray, you go right ahead and pray for me. I appreciate it. But I got a personal line and you do too. Use it. Use it. Hallelujah. And it's amazing what will happen. It's amazing what will take place for you. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Walking in the blessing. That's what we're doing. Walking in the blessing. Hallelujah. Walking in the blessing. Going somewhere, hallelujah. Doing something more glorious than we've ever done before, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. That's God's intent, that's in God's purpose. The Holy Ghost leading us, hallelujah. That glory, the light of the glory shining in the face of Jesus. It's inside of you this morning. It's already in you, that glory. The knowledge of that glory has already in the inside of you. See, the Holy Ghost wants to lead you in line with the knowledge of the glory that's in you today. Hallelujah. There's glory in you. Oh, don't we want to search for that first? Don't we want to look, hallelujah, that glory that's in us? Hallelujah. The light of the glory that's shining in the face of Jesus. Woo! It's inside of you today. That knowledge of that glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you so much for giving us the Holy Spirit. What a love you had for us. It was wonderful, Lord God, that you caused us to be born again and take on your very nature, become your children. That is an astounding thing. But the fact that God, the Holy Ghost, moved inside of us, hallelujah. Oh, my. Oh, Holy Spirit, forgive us. Ooh, my. There is so much. Oh, the greater one is living inside of us. Oh, the one in us is greater than the one that's in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The greatness of the glory of the heavens. Hallelujah. The glory of the knowledge of the light shining in the face of Jesus. That knowledge is living in us. Hallelujah today. That knowledge is alive. Hallelujah. It's not just some words on a page. Hallelujah. It's a glorious being, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Shining the knowledge of that light in us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we step into that place today that you've given us, that place, Lord God, where the fullness of all the blessing, hallelujah, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus has been given to us. Lord God, we step into that place today. Lord God, we no longer look for blessings. We have blessings, hallelujah. We're blessed. Oh, just as under the law, the blessing that they had under the law, if they did all those things, and in Christ Jesus, He fulfilled it for us, hallelujah, that the blessing of Abraham is upon us in the name of Jesus. Jesus, the promise of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we didn't just get the good stuff. We got the good God. We got the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit living in us. How wouldn't we be blessed coming in, going out? Our Lord God, hallelujah. Oh, Father God, our bank accounts are full. Hallelujah. Lord God, our lives, our bodies are full of health in the name of Jesus Christ. Our children are blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, no matter what we do, Father God, in our jobs, we're blessed. We're always the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Lord God, that's us. We're the church. We take our place as the kings and priests of God, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Any voice that rises up against us will condemn it in the name of Jesus Christ. We walk forth in boldness in the name of Jesus. We're full of confidence and strength in the name of Jesus, full of the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, wisdom comes to us quickly, Lord God, that we know how to walk in the Word, how to apply it, how to do it, Lord God. The Holy Spirit is teaching us constantly, giving us wisdom and understanding, revealing the things of God to us that have been hidden before the foundation of the world, taking us to a place to walk we have not been before, a place of faith far beyond where we have walked in faith. Lord God, that we fully trust in You. Our confidence is towards You and no other. Lord God, that the fear of the Lord is our treasure. Hallelujah. Lord God, our confidence in You. We have no confidence in any other. We have no confidence in ourselves, but we have full confidence in You, Lord God. Hallelujah. You're our treasure, and we thank You for it, Father. Father, I thank You for all that You're accomplishing in us, all that You're doing in us, the revelation that's coming today. Father, eyes are being opened. Understanding's being opened today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Eyes can see and understand clearly concerning the Word. Hallelujah. Life is being breathed on us in the name of Jesus. Lord God, there's a fresh breeze and a fresh wind, hallelujah, in this day and this time, an arising up of the Spirit of God, taking us to new walks and new places of life, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A people full of God, a people full of God, a people full of God, hallelujah, full of the knowledge of God, understanding, hallelujah, wisdom and power and glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, are we taking our place? Hallelujah, taking our place. Where we stand, where we are. You're priests and kings, hallelujah. You're priests and kings. I tell you, go home and look in the mirror and talk to the priest and the king, hallelujah. Go in there. I'm sure you need to turn around. You need to start getting this voice on yourself where you say about yourself and stuff. Don't matter how much I preach it, does wonderful for me saying it. Glory to God. But it may not do a thing for you. You start to say it. Hallelujah. Speaking. You start to say in those things. This is what I am. This is what God made me. The Holy Ghost is inside of me. The glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. That knowledge is in me. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Who we must be. Who we must be that God wants to come and live with us. Whoa! My words. We thought it was cool we'd get to see Him. Dear Lord, He's wanting to be with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Betty to come. She asked us to pray for, your cousin or brother-in-law. Anybody else, if you healing or anything and you want to come, you can come. If anybody does, she wants us to pray. Now see, we're the kings and the priests. There's places of authority that we have that we can walk. You know, our voice doesn't go silent in this earth. We need to know that concerning ourselves. Our voices don't go silent in this earth. See, we need to take our place to where we stand. When we say things, hallelujah. When we put our faith out on things, when we stand, we need to understand where we're coming from. Hallelujah. See, when the church comes together, I mean, think about the place of authority. The place of authority is a king, ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus. How do you think Jesus rules? Just trying to get something done. We're just working at it. How does Jesus rule? See, we come to a place and take our authority. As I prayed, no weapon formed against us will prosper. You know, in the name of Jesus, we cast out devils. It says we do. You know, but most of the church, really most Christians ain't got it. They're still trying to get ministries doing that stuff. That's our nature. That's what we are as a king and a priest. We do that. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. Hallelujah.
whatever we agree to. If two or three, they agree on whatever they ask, it shall be done to them, my Father which is in heaven. Sound like some ruling and reigning, don't it? Sounds like some ruling and reigning over some things. If in the Tower of Babel they could do, and God said, it didn't say, God said there's nothing withheld from them that they can't do. So what did he do? He changed their language. I thought he did that to the church. Because the church has a terrible time getting their voice to agree. Hallelujah. Our voice. You know what? If nothing is withheld from the heathen, what is withheld from us? Oh my God. Hallelujah. See, we're going to pray for an individual. Hallelujah. And we're going to just turn this thing around. We can. Hallelujah. We can turn this thing around. We're the church. We're the church. We're the people of the fear of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We make things happen. Yes. Glory to God. What's his name?
Glenn.
Hallelujah. What's his last name, Glenn?
Weaver.
Glenn Weaver. Oh, he's a weaver. Okay.
He's a weaver.
Okay. You did say his brother-in-law. That's right. Isn't he? Glenn Weaver. Hallelujah. Well, I don't think it's time for Glenn to be going nowhere. There's a lot of things got to change for Glenn. I just got a sense in me. There's a lot got to change. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, it's a place, you know, I've always respected the fact because Betty's always stood concerning things. And I tell you what, it's worked, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it has. Hallelujah. It's one of the things of it is place taking a place, you know. Say, you know, because God's waiting for us to take a place, to make a stand, to do something. He's waiting for it. See, many times we're trying to see what God wants to do in these things, and it isn't about what God wants to do. It's the authority he's handed to us. And I just got a sense Glenn ain't supposed to be leaving. Glenn has cancer?
Bladder cancer.
All right. Hallelujah. Well, that ain't nothing.
Right.
Bladder cancer ain't nothing. All right. You know, Jesus already took his infirmities and bore his sicknesses. And you know what? The church is going to do something about that. We believe that.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's why he came to me for prayer.
Uh-huh. He knows you get it. See, even they know who gets job done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this is what we're going to do. Hallelujah. Because he needs to stay. Glory to God. Father, I'm just so glad that we can come to you. I'm just so excited. We can stand before you. Lord God, and I'm just so thankful of the authority that you gave us in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we understand and know we were not given this authority. We weren't given this place of position because of any greatness that we have done. We recognize the fact that we stand in this position because you handed it to us. But Father God, we're going to treat it of the great value that it is. We stand today as kings and priests before you, your blessed children. Our place of authority is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Father, we bring Glenn Weaver before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we stand as a church of Jesus Christ. And I say, devil, get your hands off of Glenn in the name of Jesus. I command you in Jesus' name to get your baggage and get going in Jesus' name. And I speak to Glenn's body right now in the name of Jesus. We declare life is in that body in the name of Jesus. Cancer, you're dead and gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Healing and health are in that body right now in the name of Jesus by the authority of the Church of Jesus Christ. We declare it that his body is going into full recovery in the name of Jesus. Healing belongs to him. We declare it in Jesus' name. And so, Father, thank you for healing him. We appreciate it. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy that through Jesus Christ is the only way that we could do this. He has given this healing through his death, burial, and resurrection, and we take a hold of it and grab it for Glenn in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you. It's done. You're so wonderful and good. And we praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The church. The authority in the church. We need to learn to take our place and what we really are and what we really have. Hallelujah. Because we have a lot more than what we... I mean, it's already given to us. Get in the knowledge of the Word. Don't just read, say, isn't that really nice? Jesus said the works that He did we'll do also. You don't have to pray 2 seconds about that. Now, might want to pray and say, give me some more knowledge about that. But to stand in that place, He said, we will do it. I mean, I don't have to ask God that I would do them. Would I? He declared we will. Now, if I have to ask Him for doing them, then it ain't what He said. He said, we will. Why? That's what goes. The Holy Ghost moved into you. The same Spirit that would anointed Him, who went about doing good and healing all that repressed the devil. But He's living in us holding out. No, He's not. He's not holding the thing out. Hallelujah. We just need to believe what the Word says. Amen? Believe what the Word says. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I thank You, Lord God, for this morning. I thank You for the anointing, the Holy Ghost. Lord God, we can't do what we do without Him. And Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that You take what belongs to our wonderful Master Jesus and You so graciously give it to us so we can comprehend it and understand it and we get to walk in it in the blessing. And Lord God, I want to thank You. They're a blessed people. They're a blessed people here today. They're just full of the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord God. This is a people who, Lord God, have the fear of the Lord. And Lord God, are full of Your strength and Your confidence, Father, in the name of Jesus. And when we go out of here and we go to this place, Father God, we're walking out of here a people full of long life. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, full of blessing. Father, knowledge comes to us easily and quickly from the Word. The Holy Spirit teaches us, and we have an ear to hear Him. Hallelujah. We know the voice of the Spirit, and He instructs us in the blessing of the Lord and to walk in it. And Father God, we follow it and do it and live and walk in that blessing. So we thank You, Lord, as we leave today. Lord God, we're in safety. Hallelujah. We're not in fear. We're not in worry. Lord God, hallelujah. Father God, You're taking care of us wherever we go. We're under Your hand, Lord God. We're the blessed of the Lord. We're blessed coming in and going out. So whatever we do, it is blessing for us. Hallelujah. We'll not be harmed, Lord of God. The fear of the Lord, no evil comes upon us in the name of Jesus. We only have blessing. We thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.